to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Can you go back and remember the days that you accepted the Lord as your Savior? Can you go back and remember that? You may not know the exact day or the exact time or the date or anything, but you can remember that time and place where you got saved. And then after that, you found you a church to where you could get into, where you could learn more about in the one that you had just trusted and asked to be your Savior. And with that all in mind there, in going back to when you was lost, and then something was grabbing a hold to your heart and you just didn't know what it was about your life. It seemed like it just kind of flashed in front of you. But with that in mind, can you remember some of the things that you said and you asked the Lord to help you with at that time? Can you remember any of that? Can you remember? Let's see what it says. All right, in verse 35, chapter 1. Chapter 35 and verse 1. Excuse me. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. That is of Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place Bethel, because thy God appeared unto him. And when he fled from the face of his brothers. In verse 9 it says, and God appeared unto Jacob again. And when he came out of Padanaram and blessed him, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, But Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. With right here, Jacob, right here, we have two or three different things and two or three different ways that we could probably go in and bring a message from it. But we just need to think about Jacob. We need to think about Jacob and what Jacob was doing. Now, Jacob was just like the people like we are. He got caught up in some things. And he got away from God. God couldn't do anything to him. God couldn't bring him back, it didn't seem like. But God knew one way that he could get him back. And you know what it was? In joining the house of God. Joining the house of God. That's what Bethel means. The house of God. And you got to have E-Bethel. And that means the God that is over the house of God. We need to come and meet with God in his house. God is the one we can worship. No one else should we worship. We should not worship man. We should not worship celebrities. We should not even go with it and do the things of what the government says. We have to use our own testimony. And how do you end up with a testimony? With your own convictions. Now, your convictions, they may be stronger than some of mine, but I can't handle your convictions. Because, see, God didn't allow me to handle that conviction. Just like the conviction I have, you cannot take on my convictions. Because if you did, what would happen? You would fall. We go back over to John chapter 14. And that chapter right there, I love that chapter with all my heart. I really do. But it speaks of none other than, it speaks of the Trinity of God. It speaks of God the Father. It speaks of God the Son. And then it speaks of God the Holy Ghost. Right there, all in chapter 14 in the book of John. Genesis chapter 33 and verse 20 says, and he, Jacob, erected thou an altar and called it Elohim, which means Israel. Means God. The God of Israel. The God of this little land and that property there. And they've been trying. The United States has tried. Even Iran has tried. Even over there in Saudi Arabia, they've tried. All the countries that are around Israel, they have tried to do their very best to take that land from them. They said that land does not belong to them because it did not become a state until 1948, I think it was. But see, the thing about it was, what they didn't understand that Israel became God's home place. And he says, they're my people. You will not harm my people. What are they doing today? They're flocking back to Israel. That's the reason Israel's over there now building all of these homes and everything, and these apartment buildings and everything, where they can receive the individuals that left the home place. Yes, they coming from Russia. They coming from Germany. Yes, they coming from everywhere. They even coming from the United States over there, because they know when they get back to Israel, when they get back to their home place, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. And I know the there in Israel, it's not that many is devout Jews. Because you can follow them and listen to them on TV and in the paper and the radio. And you'll hear a lot of them say, well, the Lord's coming back. It ain't going to be long before he comes back. He's going to take over. He's going to take his earth. And he's going to purify it once again. How is he going to purify? How is God going to get rid of the sin that is in this earth? And that is among this earth. Has God going to get rid of that sin to where he can make it come back and be just as pure as it was the day that he created it? You know how? By fire. The fire represents what? It represents the finery of things. You take a piece of a jewel, you take an emerald or something like that. What you have to do is to get all the perfection out of it. You have to take it and put it under a certain degree of fire. And that fire will take out the imperfection that is in that little stone. And once that stone and if imperfection is gone, then they lay that stone over to the side. And they put it in a little box. Because you can look at that stone and you can see where the light is just penetrating against it. And the light's coming back. Oh, man. I heard a preacher one time say, he said, you know, says that, and he was an evangelist, and he said a preacher one time asked him to go with him while he was having services that week with him, because the pastor of that church, he owned a jewelry store. Had all kinds of jewelry in there, watches, had all kinds of stones, wedding rings, dime, had them all. He just had them, I mean, they was a cluster. And the evangelist asked him, he said, now, how do you make sure that you still got these in the morning? Do you trust your people that you have, that they just don't accidentally put one in their pocket? He said, I trust every last one of them. I trust every last one of them. He said, because it's not a thing that's within its four walls that once they go out that door, that's going to have a beat to it. a warning sign. They said some of them are made in with the jewels. They are made in with the stone, and they will put that piece of electronics in the stone themselves, in the watches. But he went with that pastor that day to that church, to his place of business. And he told the evangelist, he says, "What do you want?" He said, "What do you mean what I want?" He said, "If you could pick out anything in this store, one thing you could pick out, what would it be? What would it be?" He looked around. He's seen some rubies. He's seen some diamonds. He's seen bracelets and chains and all of that. Saw watches and all. He says, "If I could pick out anything, if I could pick out anything in here, and you say that I can pick it out, and I can have it." He said, "Yes, sir. I told you. Did I put a price on it?" "Nope. If you pick it out, and if we have more than one of them, you can have it. No questions asked." The evangelist looked down through this case, this cabinet, where it was full of watches. All kinds of watches. It had the old famous Timex watch. But then he went right around the corner from where he was at, looking at all the other watches. And he ran across one that caught his eye. You know what it was? A Rolex. A Rolex watch. A gold Rolex watch. And he asked him, he says, "You mind if I look at that a little closer? And I put it on my arm and see how it looks on me and everything?" He said, "Oh," he says, I'll take it out for you." He took it out of the case and gave it to the evangelist. And the evangelist placed it on his wrist to see how it would look. And he said, "You know, in thinking about it, that Rolex watch, a gold watch, it was over $30,000. The man gave it to me. But that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what Jesus has done for me. I mean, hey, as far as I'm concerned, I have an imitation. It's an imitation watch. I have an imitation Rolex watch. Yes, it's $30,000. But it's an imitation. It's not real. It's going to disintegrate." We see what Jesus promised me if I would just come to him and just ask him, I just asked him to help me. And he did. He saved that evangelist's soul. About 3 years later, he went in and started pastoring a church. He pastored a church for about a year, and then he went into full-time evangelism. But he says, "You know something? He looked at the people that he was telling this to at that church. He was looking at all the people there. He says, I've told you the story about this watch, and I have it on right now. I even told you the price of it. Would anybody want to come up and get it? It's here. All you have to do is just go ahead and ask for it. That's all I had to do to Jesus. I just had to go to Jesus and ask him to give me the salvation that he can only give. He said, you know, the people, they was gracious to him. They didn't let him come up and take your watch. But he used that watch as an illustration. He said, this watch right here is not worth anything at all that is on this earth. He said, what I'm saying is, your life and your eternal home is worth more than this watch. If he would have given me a $10 million watch, your life is still worth more than that. We cannot come up with a figure what a life is worth. And he looked back, he said, oh, yes, I can do. He says, I know people say, you know, what can I come up with? What can I come up with to amount to what Jesus does for me and everything? He said, you know, you can come to Jesus and he can give you the same thing that I received from him. And guess what? Just because he called me to be a preacher and then an evangelist, he did not. He does not do no more for me than he would you. Matter of fact, if you'll come faithful, and if you just surrender all to him, you will see how much he'll use you. But the vows of Jacob. Then Jacob, he come about, and after he had realized that he needed to get saved, and after he got saved, he knew enough of the Bible then that he needed to come and join with some people. He needed to join up with them because they knew the same Lord and the same God that he had just accepted. So they introduced him to the house of God in Bethel, the house of God. And then Ebethel introduced him to the God of the house of Israel. And when he was introduced to the house of God, what did Jacob do? What would we do today that we knew that we needed something better than what we had? That we had gathered so many different things together and to see how we could work out the problems that is in our lives. And when we come to the point that we realize that we cannot handle that problem, we cannot work it out. When we get to that point, then we go to Jesus. That's when Jesus will save us. And then even when after we're saved, when things like that come upon you, that you don't have no way of fighting the battle before you, Jesus is still there. He's still fighting the same battle for you. Just like when I was lost and I was undone and I was going to hell in a handbasket. He was doing the same thing for me then as it was I hear the preachers, the pastors, the Christians and everything. He was doing the same thing for me that he'd done for them. He died on an old cruel cross that he grew himself. Man did not grow that tree to where a cross could come from it. No, God the Father, he grew that tree. He grew that tree from the beginning. And I know I've read different things in online and different things where people's got out here that they say that the cross was a dogwood tree. That's where they took the cross from. But I can't say that because I don't know for sure. Because it doesn't say. But some people say that, and the reason they say that is because they say the dogwood tree, when it was first come on the scene, said it was just as straight and just as tall. No imperfection around it. No knots coming out of the sides. But it was straight. So they come, they cut the tree down. They come and they cut the tree down and they cut it into two different size pieces. Which they done it, you know, they probably don't tell how many they crosses they didn't make out of it. But they say they took that tree, that dogwood tree, and they cut it. And they had three crosses right there on the hill of Golgotha. On the hill was three trees that stood straight for years and years and years. But now it was standing straight once again, but it had a cross piece going through it to hold the individual that was going to go on the cross. It was going to hold the two malefactors, the two individuals that knew something about sin. Even there, the one on the right. I mean, basically, he was probably just like Job. I mean, Job's wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He may have said something to Jesus Christ when Jesus was hanging on the cross. That he says, "Why don't you just say you ain't God, you ain't Jesus, you ain't nobody." But he see the other one on the other side. He knew different. He knew all about him. He said, "Man, when you come into your paradise, when you come in, remember me. Just remember me." He didn't ask him to take him with him. He says, "Just remember me." Lord Jesus did. He remembered him. But then he went home to be with the Lord. One of these days, we're going to take that same trip. We're going to take that trip either by the grave or by the hour, one or the other. We don't have the choice which way it's going to happen for any one of us. But it's going to happen. Just like Paul said. What did Paul say? Paul says something about dying. He says it's better to live. It's better to live. And for God to bless you than for you to die with no existence at all here on earth. Better to live than to die. That's what a whole lot of us wants to do. We have ailments. We get something wrong with our bodies. And it seems like our bodies are just deteriorating around us. And that's the first thing that we do. We go and we ask. We've asked the Lord. Said, Lord, I can't take it any longer. I can't take it. I can't do nothing for you anymore. Like I once used to. So Lord, just take me by the hand and lead me home. You know something? That's a coward way out. He don't want us to go out that way. Because God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, all three, the Trinity of the living God, they do not want anybody to die and go to hell. They want every individual soul come to Jesus. But we know that it's going to be a whole lot of them that's not. It's been a whole lot that hasn't come. And some of them, I don't know where they're at. I don't know if they're in heaven or in hell. But see, Jesus and God the Father did not say anything about, well, you got three choices. I'm going to give you three choices. The first choice is you can accept me as your Savior and go to heaven. The second choice, you can believe but not accept me, and you can spend 100 years in purgatory. Purgatory is not even in the Bible. That is man-made. That is man-made. They've come up with that. Why? Just to satisfy the people. Just to keep the people a little, what did it say? Tickle your ears? Where your ears can hear the saying, what the devil is saying? Hey, yeah, hey. The devil speaks to us the same way. He speaks to us the same way as God does. He speaks to us. I mean, he speaks to us in an audible voice. He does. Sure. Anytime that we give in to him, he's spoken to us before we did give in. He spoke to us and says, now. Now is the time that you just say to God the Father and God the Son that they are nothing but a myth, where people can just think of something. They say, who in the world is going to believe something that they've never seen? Well, I go like the individual It speaks about where they came from. They said, you know, they said we was birthed into this world. God give us birth. God had impregnated my mother and where I could come forth and I could live. But see, Jesus didn't do it that way. He did not do it that way. In some forms of it, he did. But not all of it. He didn't do it that way. Why? Because he did not want them to go through the pain. He didn't want them to go through the agony. He didn't want them to go through all the pain of having a childbirth. He didn't want them to have all that pain. Why? Because Jesus wasn't about pain. He was about life. He was about joy. He was about peace. He was about understanding. He was about truth. But when the pain started coming in to focus within each one of our bodies, even right now with me standing here, both of my legs, they're getting tired and they're getting a little on the weak side. But it's got a little pain now. But see, if my legs was just as strong as they was when I was 18 years old, and my muscles in my legs was just as strong as it was back then also, that I could go out here and I could run 5 miles and not even slow up. You know, if I done that, if I went out here and started running, I mean, even though I know what I've been through and what pain I've had, but see, God still does answer prayer. God is not the one that gives up on prayer, because he is the author of prayer. He is the author of the book that we are in and that we read. He's also embodies the Holy Ghost. And he also embodies the Son of God. Why does he do that? So we can have peace. How do we have peace? Through the pain that we go through, through the agony that we may suffer. Well, see, if I didn't have nothing wrong with me, and if I was in perfect health, at the age I am, I wouldn't need the Lord. I'm being honest. A lot of people out here won't be honest with themselves. But they won't need the Lord. But that's the reason I need the Lord. And that's the reason you need the Lord. You need the Lord so the Lord can speak to you and talk to you day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. He can talk to you and he can give you that peace to where you may come up and you may wake up in the morning with another pain that you haven't experienced before. And you may get up in the morning, you may come to find out that I can't even walk in the morning. But I praise the Lord, he has provided for me to have a wheelchair that I can go and I can get in that wheelchair
and I can go. I can still go ahead and visit people. I mean, I can drive, but I can still go ahead and visit them. I can go to the mall. Yes, I can go to the mall. Even at the mall, and even at some of these stores right here, they have signs out. Tell don't come here and say anything about Jesus. People don't want to hear that. People's over here shocked. Well, if I go into a place, I'm going to talk to people. I was down at Duke for Friday. Went down to Duke to the liver doctor. And as I was there, the nurse called me back there, and my wife, she went with me. But the nurse was taking all of my vital signs, blood pressure, temperature, and all of that, and asking me questions and everything. Some of the questions she asked, I didn't understand it, but the end of it, end of her examining what she done for me, before the practitioner come in, before the doctor come in, they was about ready to leave and go out the door. I says, can y'all wait a moment? I need to ask you something. They say, sure. I says, if we got the answer, we'll sure give it to you. They thought I was going to ask them something about my health and what's going wrong with my lover and all that. I asked them both. They're both looking at me, just waiting for me to say something. I said, are you both saved? Do you know Jesus? Are you in church? They said, yes, sir. I'm saved. I'm in church. And I love God. And I said, you know something? You just made my day 100% better than it was before I come in. She said, what did you say? I said, yeah, you made my day. I said, because really, if you'd have told me that you won't, I'd end up having a real sad day. I'd have a real sad day. But now I know that each one of y'all are my sisters in the Lord. And each one of you, you know the Lord is your Savior. And then I had to go, and the doctor finally come in and talked to me and said some things and everything. My wife was listening to all that. They lost me between the between that and me talking to them, to the nurses. But she said, well, we need to take some blood or something. I think that's what it was. Take some blood, because I hadn't given any. Usually I give you blood before I even go see the doctor before, but I didn't this time. But they said they'll be with you in a minute. I said, okay. So they called me back. The nurse had sat down. Well, she sat out and she got that little armrest and swung it out to where I could sit down in the chair, and then place my arm on the armrest. And she was getting the needle and everything and all that. And that was, she was there, and it was another nurse or nurse's aide or something, I don't know, over that. A right across from her on the computer. And
they was there talking among themselves, and I says, before you take any blood, because I don't know how much blood the doctor wants, and I don't know how much blood I've got, because I'm on blood thinner right now, and every time I hit them, if I fall or something like that, and I got blood running through my body and everything up on top of my skin and everything. I got blood going everywhere. And I said, I just don't know how much blood I got left. I said, but I do know one thing, that Jesus said, life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. And by the way, I want to ask both of y'all something. I got a question I need to ask you. And it depends on the way you answer me. Depends on the answer. If I'm going to have a good day, or if I'm going to have the day of sorrow, the day of just not wanting to wake up because I haven't done what I could do. I said, I want to ask each one of you something right now. And both of you listening, because the other lady, she got off the computer and she turned around and she listened. So I want to ask you both something. I says, is either one of you saved? The one that took my blood, she said, yes, sir. I'm saved and I know it. The other one over there, she said, yes, sir, I'm saved and I can take you right to the place that you want to go to right now. And you can probably experience the same thing that I experienced then, because it's never left. And here was the other nurse over there. She was quoting verses to me. I mean, she was quoting to me. She's quoting over in John 14. She quoted chapter 14 and verse 26, my baby first. And I said, and I stood in there, I talked to her a few minutes, both of them. I said, you two and the other two that I met before y'all, y'all have blessed me to the point that I should not even say anything against nobody, because you blessed me so much. And you know, this is Duke University. This is the lover son of, the lover transport son of that I'm
transplant
son of that I'm in right now and visiting the doctor, Dr. Bird. But I'm gonna tell you a little something. Danville, Virginia. That's where I'm from. Danville, Virginia. For years there in Danville, when the hospital that we had, it was a Memorial Hospital. But after they was really sold out from under the people, because the people's the one that built the hospital. And after the chairman of the boards and everything, after they went out secretly and sold it out from under each one of the individuals that gave each year and the businesses that gave each year. They sold it out from under us. And they put all the money that they sold it for in a particular bank in Danville. And the bank president of that particular bank, he was on the board at the hospital. So naturally, you knew where the money was going. Until then, you could go into the hospital
I could go in there and I could get in there. I could walk halls. From one hall down to the other. I could walk in the rooms and not know any people. I could leave a track with them. Or I could go in and pray with them. Or I could tell them about Jesus. But once they were sold down, all of that ceased back a couple years later. I said, I can't even go in the hospital right now and to pray with anybody. I can't even go in the hospital and tell anybody about Jesus. I said, well, what gets me? And I said, I don't know y'all's faith, but I think you got the right stuff because of the way y'all talked to me about it. I says, I can't go into one of the members of my church's rooms and leave a tract there for them to read. Or I can't go in there and talk to them about Jesus. And right before I leave, have prayer with them. I can't do that. But you know the one that can go and do that? It's a lady. It's a lady. And she's Catholic. She can go and do it all day long. They don't bother her. I mean, I don't understand what this world has got themselves into, that they can't get themselves out of. Now I know some good Catholics. I know some good Catholics. They'll say, and they tell you they say, and they'll tell you how they're going to heaven. They'll also tell you that they don't go and speak to no priest either about the sins that they've committed during the week. They go to the main priest, the priest that is over all priests, that is all over everybody's lives. She said, I don't go to them. I go to the main one. Because see, if I go to them, and no disrespect to them, I don't know if they are going to forget half of what I've confessed to them. So I say, if you're going to do anything at all, go to the main source of anything that you do in life. If you have a particular individual that you have to go through to do anything, to do something that you want to do. Don't go through somebody else. Go through the main source. Go to the owner. That's who I go to. I go to the owner. Why? Because he's the owner of my soul. He's the owner of my soul. And I love him more today than I ever have in my life. And if I can't stand up here and preach another message, if I can't stand up here before you another day, another time, then it don't make no difference to me, because I know that Jesus has something better for me to do. And I know that. Why? Because I have served him too long for him to disappoint me now. And he's not going to disappoint me. Just like I told a couple here. One Wednesday evening here, I told them, I said, well, don't worry about her no more, because God's already performed a miracle on her life. He's talking about Salem. I said, now, God don't waste miracles. He don't waste miracles. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we pray right now that this message, Father, that you laid on my heart, I thank you for each word that you give me. And Father, I pray that I said each and every word that you wanted me to say, that I said it with clarity, and I said it in a way that the individual that heard it would heard, that hath heard an individual that has done something that been a while. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, now today that you have humbled me down to the point, Father, that I know that I cannot do anything without your help, without your experience, and without your blessings. Father, I pray, Lord, now as you go with these people, down, Father, this week. I pray, Father, as we come across our friends, our co-workers, our family, our immediate family, and then the family that has put us out in a, like a castaway. And the reason for that is because of who we believe in and whom we trust. Father, my prayer is this week that somebody will witness your life in our life, that is, we can come with a surety and knowing that when you heard the prayer request, you are there for one and one main reason only, and that's to bless us and to answer our prayer according to thy will, Father. The Lord go with us. Be with us this week. Be with us tomorrow, Father, in Memorial Day. Help us, Lord, that we'll always keep the individuals in our hearts that laid down their life for my freedom and other people's freedom also. Father, we thank you. We love you.